بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we'll have class number 3 of the series of classes, Failure of Love and Marriage, and the title of the class is Mercy Between Spouses. Today, inshallah, we will continue to analyze a great problem which is affecting our family relationships, our happiness, our security, and our future, which is the failure of marriage. As believers in Allah's oneness, we believe that we must follow the rules of Allah regarding all our aspects of our lives, including our marriage. As Allah, our Creator, is the only one who knows our nature, our abilities, and our weaknesses. Allah the Almighty teaches us about the elements of successful marriage in Surah number 30, verse number 21. Actually, the verse which I am repeating in every class of marriage so that we all memorize this verse of the Quran and understand its message. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا تسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
Among his sons that created for your wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them, he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily, in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect.
Okay. Thank you. According to this verse of the Quran, actually successful marriage equal repose, affection and mercy. These are the three elements which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that they are the basic elements for success of marriage, repose, affection and mercy. Inshallah, today we will learn about mercy between spouses, as we already learned about the repose and affection as elements for success of marriage. At the beginning, we Muslims must remember the importance of having good manners in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must always remember that a true believer must have good manners. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most perfect believer in belief is the best of them in character. We must remind ourselves that Islam is not only to learn the rules of fasting and praying, while ignoring the knowledge of the manners of Islam and forgetting about practicing them. We must always remember, sister, that having good manners is one of the most important basic rules in Islam. You cannot be a believer who is praying the five prayers and fasting the month of Ramadan and going to Hajj while you don't have the good manners regarding the people around you. Good manners is a basic need in Islam. Today, inshallah, we will learn about the definition of mercy. We will learn about Allah is the most merciful and that the mercy of Allah is the source of the all mercy on the earth. We will learn about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy for humanity, and we will learn the proof for this fact. We will learn also attractive examples of the mercy of the great husbands towards his wives. At the beginning, so long we are learning about mercy between spouses, we want to know the definition of mercy. According to the dictionary, the definition of mercy is that it is the disposition to be kind and forgiving. And also it is the feeling that motivates compassion. Simply, you can define mercy as compassion, kindness, care, support, and forgiveness. Actually, the Arabic term for mercy is rahma. You know, the word, the Arabic word rahma equal to mercy in English. From this word rahma, two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are derived. Okay, the Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. If you look here, you know, this is the word rahma. And from rahma, you have Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is the most gracious. Ar-Rahim is the most merciful. Okay? These two names of Allah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, they are part of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is at the beginning of every surah of the Quran. Every surah of the Quran started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, except surah number 9. Okay, this is the only surah of the Quran which is not, it doesn't have Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at its beginning, Surah At-Tawbah. Okay, because, you know, there is a possibility that it is a continuation of surah number 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. This is the only explanation why this surah doesn't have in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful at its beginning. But you must realize that whenever you will recite the, any surah of the Quran, at its beginning you will say, recite or you will say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Okay. Also, when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, you know, in every rak'ah of your prayer, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay? And this means that, you know, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 17 times per day, during your prayers. Because you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times per day during your prayers. Because you have two rak'ahs in Salat Al-Fajr, four rak'ahs in Salat Al-Duhr, four rak'ahs in another four in Salat Al-Asr, three rak'ahs in Salat Al-Maghrib, and four rak'ahs in Salat Al-Ish. So in your obligatory prayers daily, you recite Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times, and this means that you say, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, 17 times every day in your prayers.
Actually, you say more than that because in each rak'ah you say the word Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim two times.
Yes. Let me correct, you know, this information. In Surah Al-Fatiha, you at the beginning you have in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then in ayah number 3, you again recite the most gracious, the most merciful. Because in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Surah Al-Fatiha, you mention ar-Rahman ar-Rahim twice. And so long we recite Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times per day, so this means that we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim 34 times in our obligatory prayers every day. Okay? So actually this is a clarification that we always mention the names of Allah related to mercy. Okay, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most gracious, the most merciful. So let us now learn about the rules of Allah's mercy. Okay? Actually, sisters, in order to know about the rules of Allah's mercy, we will read Surah number 6, verse number 12, because we will learn a very important rule related to Allah's mercy and its relation to His servants. Now we will read from Surah number 6, number 12. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض قل لله كتب على نفسه الرحمة.
Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him. To whom belongs all that is in the heavens and in the earth? Say to Allah, He has prescribed mercy for Himself.
Okay, actually, sisters, in the meaning of this verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that He has committed Himself to have grace and mercy as the basic rules in His treatment and judgment over His servants, both in this life and in the life to come. Okay, so the rule from this verse of the Quran is that mercy is the rule of Allah's treatment and judgment of His servants. Okay, and actually, sister, this is a very important rule which we need to reflect on it and try to realize its depth and its benefits. Okay, how? I will clarify to you now how we can get a lot of benefit from this verse of the Quran and how this verse of the Quran can help each one of us to try to be merciful to everyone around us. In order to learn about the benefits of this verse of the Quran, now we will recite some verses of the Quran which are not related to the mercy of Allah, but are related to the power, will, and kingdom of Allah, the Almighty. Okay, we will read these verses of the Quran, and then inshallah we will learn how to get the benefits of these verses of the Quran and the rule of Allah's mercy towards His servants. We will start by reciting Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verse number 26. Surah number 3, verse number 26. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Say, O Muhammad, peace be upon him. O Allah, possessor of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will, and you endue with honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. In your hand is the good. Verily, you are able to do all things.
Okay, sisters. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us in this verse how He is the one who can do everything, and it is only up to His will, you know, to give and to take and to prevent and to bestow upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is controlling all our affairs. Now we will read again from Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am. We will read verse number 18. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Actually, we will read verse number 17 and verse number 18. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ.
And if Allah touches you with harm, none can remove it but He. And if He touches you with good, then He is able to do all things. And He is the irresistible, above His slaves, and He is the all-wise, well acquainted with all things.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us about His will, which is controlling all the affairs of our lives. We will read again from the same surah, surah number 6, verse number 65. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو القادر على أن يبعث عليكم عذابا من فوقكم أو من تحت أرجلكم أو يلبثكم شيعا ويذيق بعضكم بأس بعض انظر كيف نصرف الآيات لعلهم يفقهون.
Say, He has power to send torment on you from above or from under your feet, or to cover you with confusion in party strife and make you taste the violence of one another. See how variously we explain the ayat so that they may understand.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that He is able to overwhelm people with severe suffering that destroy them totally. We will read again now, sisters, from Surah number 36, Surah 15, verse number 82 and 83. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون.
Verily, His command when He intends a thing is only that He says to it, be, and it is. So glorified is He and exalted above all that they associate with Him, and in whose hands is the dominion of all things, and to Him you shall be returned.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that He is controlling life with one word, the word we. Now we will read again, sisters, from Surah number 13, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 11. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له وما لهم من دونه من وال.
For him there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him by the command of Allah. Verily Allah will not change the good condition of a people as long as they do not change their state of goodness themselves by committing sins and by being ungrateful and disobedient to Allah. But when Allah wills a people's punishment, there can be no turning back of it, and they will find beside him no protector.
Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this verse of the Quran, sisters, that when Allah wills people to suffer some misfortune, none can avert it. Okay? So, sisters, now from all these verses of the Quran, we learn the following facts. Number one, Allah is the sole owner of the universe. Allah is the only controller of all the affairs and the people and the people's lives. Allah is controlling life with the word be. Allah is able to overwhelm people with severe suffering that destroy them totally. Also, when Allah wills to people to suffer, they will suffer and none can save them beside Him. So, in conclusion, we must realize the following fact, sister, that with all the power, with all the will, with all the authority, and with all the ability to control the lives of the servants, it was mercy that Allah, the Most Merciful, has committed Himself to make it the basic rule for the treatment of His servants in this life and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the power, has all the authority, can control everything with the word be, and Allah can punish everything, and Allah can destroy everyone. But in spite of all this power and will and authority and ability to punish, Allah showed His mercy. You see, sisters, actually I want you to realize this fact, okay, because we as believers in Allah's oneness, we are required to cultivate within ourselves the moral principle to which form the attributes of Allah. We must be merciful as Allah is merciful. We must be kind as Allah is kind. Sisters, every one of us must be merciful to each other as our Lord is the most merciful and most gracious. But we must remember again some facts. You know, number one, Allah is the most merciful while Allah is the most powerful. But we must be merciful while we don't have any power. You know, I am sending this message to every human being whom or he or she are under the impression that I am rich, that I have prestigious job, that I have a lot of wealth, that I can control the life of some people, I have power, okay? And because of all this power which I have, okay, I will not be merciful to any human being. I am not in need of anyone, okay? Whoever is under this impression, believing in this ideology, actually, she or he are proving that they don't know who is Allah the Almighty. If you know Allah the Almighty, you must realize the power of Allah, the will of Allah, the ability of control which only Allah has, but you must also realize that Allah chooses mercy to be the basic rule for the treatment of His slaves and servants. Accordingly, you are basically a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, you don't have any power, you don't have any will, you cannot choose except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on what basis you can say, I have power? On what basis you can choose not to be merciful to the people whom they are less than you or weaker than you, or they are in need of you? If you are, a true believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, every one of us must remind herself that our Lord Allah is the most merciful while He is the most powerful. So I must be merciful because I don't have any power. Okay? And while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful and He has the will to control everything, we human beings must be very merciful to each other because we don't have any will to control anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful while He is able to send severe punishment, and we human beings must be merciful because none can send any punishment because none has power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us always remind ourselves with these facts related to Allah's mercy so that we can be merciful to each other, believing that we are all slaves of Allah. If you believe that you are a slave, you must believe that you don't have power or will. And you must believe that you belong to the owner, Allah the Almighty. The owner is the most merciful, so you must be also merciful. Question, sisters, is that how great is Allah's mercy? In order to know about this question, the answer is in Surah number 8, verse number 158. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واكتب لنا في هذه الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة إنا هدنا إليك قال عذابي أصيب به من أشاء ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتبها للذين يتقون ويؤتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون.
And for us good in this world and in the hereafter. Certainly we have turned unto you. He said, my punishment I afflict therewith whom I will, and my mercy embraces all things.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in this verse of the Quran that His mercy embraces everything. We will learn the proof for this verse of the Quran from the following hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Allah has 100 acts of mercy. One of these is the one by which creatures show mercy to one another. The other 99 parts are reserved to the Day of Judgment. Okay? Another hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the greatness of Allah's mercy is that he said, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, He also created 100 mercies. Each one of them, the space between the heavens and the earth, He placed one mercy on the earth. It is through this mercy that a mother is compassionate to her baby, and so are wild beasts and birds. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 acts of mercy. And He only put one on the earth. And that one, through that one part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the creature, the animals and the human being, from the creation of the earth, when Prophet Adam was on the earth, until the Day of Judgment, all the mercy on the earth, between the human beings, each other, and between the animals, all this mercy is from the one part of the 100 of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to think how great is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And try to reflect on, you know, a mother whom she's taking care of her baby. You know, how she is so kind, how she is so compassionate, how she is caring, how she is taking care of the baby with all the love and kindness. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to imagine all the love of all the mothers on the earth from Prophet Adam until the Day of Judgment. From the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love between the husband and the wife, the love between the kid and the parents, all kinds of love, affection, kindness between human beings from the creation of Prophet Adam until the Day of Judgment are from the mercy, one part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And that part of the mercy which all the creatures, you know, are sharing together is one of the 100 parts of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try to imagine how great is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how every one of us is in great need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, sisters, because the mercy of Allah is the best provision in life. Whenever you are looking for the best provision in life and you are calling on Allah to shower you or to give you the best provision in life is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can live every hardship with acceptance. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can live your life as an act of worship. Through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can fulfill your responsibilities to everyone around you, even if you are not in a good mood with them or you are not happy with them. But it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will help you to accept the people, to accept the decree, to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be a true believer in the oneness of Allah all the time. And it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will make you having the best manner in life, which is kindness. You will be always kind. You will be always caring for the people around you. You will be always forgiving the mistakes of the people around you. This will make your life the best life on the earth. And because of that, we must believe that the mercy of Allah is the best provision in life. And every one of us must call on Allah for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ask me, Sister Mona, what is the call you always ask Allah for and or what you are always looking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you are looking for the health? Are you are looking for the kids? Are you are looking for the wealth? I will tell you, no, sisters, I am looking for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if I have kids with no mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be a source of trouble in my life. If I have a wealth without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be a source of corruption in my life. If I have a husband without the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give me a lot of troubles in my life. So I am calling on Allah most basically for his mercy. Okay, so every one of us must actually appreciate, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower him or her with his mercy. And the question will be, what is the way to receive Allah's mercy? Every one of us must be looking for Allah's mercy. How I can receive Allah's mercy? Actually, the answer is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, mercy is not granted to one who is not merciful. And he, peace be upon him, also said, show mercy to those on the earth so that you are shown mercy by the one in the heaven. And also Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, Allah does not bestow his mercy on those who don't show mercy to people. So the rule which we are learning is that to have Allah's mercy, you need to be merciful to all around you. So the rule is that the more you are merciful to people, the Allah bestows his mercy on you. So you will ask me, Sister Mona, can you give us a proof for this rule? I will tell you, yes, I will give you the proof. The proof is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Okay, and let us learn about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his relation to mercy from Surah number 21, Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 107.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin.
Surah number 21, verse number 107.
And we have sent you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, not but as mercy for the Alameen.
Okay. For all the human beings and all that exists. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that he sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, as a mercy to mankind. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful to all around him, to human beings and to animals. Okay, and let us learn about
you know, why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so merciful, how he was so merciful, what are the sources of his mercy. Okay, in order to learn about the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must know or remember that the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it becomes its manners. The manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to his wife Aisha, is the Quran, or was the Quran. His manners was the Quran. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a walking Quran, an alive Quran. All his manners were from the Quran. So the next question is, what is the relation between the Quran and mercy? Okay? To know the relation between the Quran and mercy, we will read Surah number 16, verse number 89, and then Surah number 17, verse number 82, in order to realize the relation between the Quran and mercy. We will start with Surah number 16, Surah An-Nahl, verse number 89.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم نبعث في كل أمة شهيدا عليهم من أنفسهم وجئنا بك شهيدا على هؤلاء ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين.
And remember the day when we shall raise up from every nation a witness against them from amongst themselves. And we shall bring you, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a witness against these. And we have sent down to you the book, the Quran, as an exposition of everything, a guidance, a mercy, and glad tidings for those who have submitted themselves to Allah as Muslims.
Now we will read from Surah number 17. We will read from Surah number 17, verse number 82, to know the Quran and mercy. Allah said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa nunazzilu min al-Qur'an ma huwa shifaa'un wa rahmatun lil mu'minin wa la yazeedu adh-dhalimin illa khasara.
And we send down of the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe in Islamic monotheism and act on it, and it increases zalimun, polytheists, and wrongdoers nothing but loss.
From these two verses of the Quran, we are learning that the Quran is a source of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the Quran, that the Quran is a source of mercy, as number one, the Quran has a healing power that cures anxiety and hesitation. Number two, the Quran establishes a bond between the believer, the heart, and Allah. This bond imparts inner peace to the believer as he experiences a feeling of security in Allah's protection, a great mercy which believers highly appreciate. Again, sisters, in order to feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel that Allah is taking care of me. Allah is protecting me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. All the power is with me. I am not alone. This will give you a feeling of security. This is a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the people are worried. All the people are sad. All the people are unbalanced. But only the believer is living in the cave of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My spirit is in the cave of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am protecting my spirit from all, you know, the elements which is causing, you know, most of the people nowadays to be sad, to be depressed, not to be in a good shape. This is the mercy of the Quran. How I am living in the cave of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. Again and again, if you want to live the mercy of life, you live it through the words of the one who creates life, Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. Okay, and actually, sister, this is a fact. If you live with the Quran, and if you live with the rules of the Quran, when your heart will be touched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel that you are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time you are looking for the future to be better. All the time you are looking for an outlet from every hardship. All the time you are looking that Allah will help me and will take care of me. I am not worried about anything. I am living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cures your spirit from greed, envy, and evil thoughts, and all the bad manners which destroy and waste our lives. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that makes you to be always looking to be merciful with all the people around you. You are merciful when you notice that. You are more merciful with the people around you. You are more kind. You are more compassionate. You are more forgiving, the blessing, forgiving the mistakes of other people. Be sure that you are living in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are showered with a big dose of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you cannot be merciful to the people except when you have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, and through that mercy you will be more and more merciful to all the people around you. All this is from the Quran. Okay, number one, and from the life, if you follow the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was having the manners of the Quran. Okay, so now we learn that Prophet Muhammad was having the manners of the Quran. Prophet Muhammad was the most merciful human being to all the creatures around him. Again today we will continue to learn about how he, peace be upon him, was treating his wife with kindness and compassion, so that sisters, we will be always looking for ourselves and for our spouses to have the same manners like the manners of our Prophet. Now we will continue to learn about how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually depending on himself to release his wife. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, his wife, was asked about the manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home. She replied, he washes his clothes, cleans his shoes, and serves himself. Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling happy when his wives were happy. Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always considering the best manners of his wife. How? He said, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the believing husband should not hate his believing wife, because if he hates certain matter in her character, then he should not forget the other good manners in her character. And sister, this is the reality of mercy. Okay, the reality of mercy is to forgive the mistakes of the one whom you want to be merciful with. If I want to be merciful with my husband, I have to forgive him for his mistakes and to forget it. Number one, to forgive. Number two, to forget. This is the basics of the kindness and the basics of the mercy. Okay? Number two, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm familiar with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she wants me to say it is more easy, you know, I agree with you. In the English classes I'm supposed to say peace be upon him. Yes, I agree with you. But you know, I am familiar with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was putting the bite in the mouth of his wife. He said, if you expend anything seeking the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, even if you put a bite in the mouth of your wife. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing his mercy to his wife as he was calming them down in panic. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was putting his hand on the shoulder of his wife when she's angry and saying, O Allah, forgive her sins, relieve her heart from anger, and protect her from distress. This is the reality of the mercy between husbands and a husband and the wife. Calling on Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling on Allah to forgive the sins of his wife and to relieve her heart from anger and to protect her from distress. What is more, you know, you can expect from, you know, the meaning of the word mercy. This is the reality of mercy. Okay, also Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was wiping the tears of his wife. Safiya, the wife of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, may Allah be pleased with her, was traveling with the Prophet, peace be upon him. And it was her turn to travel with him. She was slow in walking. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received her while crying and saying to him, you gave me a slow camel. He said to her, actually, he wiped her tears with his hands. What is the meaning of this event, sister? The meaning is that he chooses his wife, Safiya, to accompany him in a travel. But her camel was slow, so he was always in advance of her. So she started to cry because there was a big distance between them. So he returned to her and he wiped her tears. And he was very kind to her. Aww. Okay? So every husband must ask himself, when your wife starts to cry, do you wipe her tears? Do you feel her feelings? Do you try all the time, you know, to make her to be in a good mood again? This is what we will learn, inshallah, in full details in the coming classes. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a mutual respect to his wife. One time, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was staying alone in adoration of Allah in the last 10 days of Ramadan. His wife, Lady Safiya, came to visit him and spoke with him for some time. Then she went to the door. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told her, don't hurry to leave till I come with you. He doesn't want his wife to leave alone. He wants to accompany her to her house because he wants to be sure that she actually arrived house safely. Okay, again and again, every husband must remember, you know, that fact, that if you have time to accompany your wife while she is, you know, in a trip or while she is, you know, outside of the house, do you think that I must take care of my wife as a symbol of mercy and accompany her in that trip or in that visit or not? This also what we will learn in the coming classes. This is a form of respect which is the source of love. Actually, sister, these were some of the manners of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding his wife. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, the best of you is the best to his family, and I am the best to my family. This is an advice to every Muslim husband who is following the manners of our Prophet, peace be upon him. This advice is clarifying that if you want to be the best if you want to be of the best Muslim, so be the best to your family, as this was the manners of the best human being ever created, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. At the end of this class, we will do a prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will learn it from surah number 25, verse number 74, regarding our relation with our spouses. And inshallah, next week, we will continue to know about the mercy between spouses. So let us now read surah number 25, verse number 74, and keep that call always in our prayer regarding our relations with our husband. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذريات قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
And those who say, O Lord, bestow on us from our wives and our offspring the comfort of our eyes and make us leaders of the mutaqeen.
Okay, sister, let us now, inshallah, make the dua and we will continue, inshallah, next. Actually, sister Rumilia has a very important question.
Okay. So we are talking about the importance of being merciful. So if one of the spouses is not merciful, will we get the benefits if one of them is?
Yes, Rumilia, because you are merciful for the sake of Allah, because you are living your marriage as an act of worship. So you are merciful to your husband because you are obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one you are looking for the reward from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for obeying his commands and being merciful to your husband and living your marriage as an act of worship. And part of the reward is that, inshallah, by time your husband will be merciful to you. You know, this is the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said that for the believer, He will make an outlet for him in every hardship. Okay, it is a very big hardship for every husband and wife who is merciful to his spouse and the spouse is not merciful. Okay, this is a very big hardship because it is very difficult to keep on being merciful to someone who is giving you hard time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always interfere with His mercy and make your spouse, you know, to change his attitude, okay, and to become merciful to you so that you can keep being merciful to him, okay? So be merciful to your husband all the time. Any husband has to be merciful to his wife, believing that the reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never put a burden on a believer more than what he can tolerate. There is no human being on the earth who can tolerate to be merciful all the time to the spouse whom he is never merciful. This is more than the tolerance of the normal human being because we are not angels. So it is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you keep on being merciful to your spouse, believing that Allah will reward you, at a point you will notice that the attitude of your husband is changing. And maybe you will be surprised, but by time you will notice that he is becoming merciful to you. And his attitude is different. And he is treating you in a good way. This is the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put a burden on a believer more than what he can tolerate. It was a test for you that your husband is not merciful. And you succeed the test. And you was very merciful to him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The minute you succeed the test, the minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the mercy to the heart of your husband and he will appreciate you and you will notice that my husband is a totally different human being. How this happens? This happens from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a reward for you being merciful to him. Actually, in my life, I saw many wives whom they were very merciful to their husbands in spite of the fact that their husbands were neglecting them, treating them in a bad way, not giving them any attention. But these wives were actually true believers in the oneness of Allah and they were always looking for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it happened in the life of every one of them that in a stage of their life, okay, their husbands start to change his attitude. And by time, their husbands become the blessings of their life. Yes, I have a real story for this. I am not sure the time, you know, will be, you can have time to know about that story. You have time? Okay, I will mention to you that story. The story of one of my closest, you know, sisters in my life, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her to my life actually to give me a lot of practical advices and actually to guide me to the best way to live this life as an act of worship. This sister, she married her husband while he was younger than her by 6 years. And he was a very handsome man and she was not so beautiful. Okay, and all the time, you know, all the women were all the time mentioning to her that, wow, your husband is very handsome, wow, your husband is very, you know, young and all of this. And she was telling me, Mona, I don't care for this so long, you know, he loves me and he is in a good relation with me. But it happened that, you know, by time, you know, in his work, there were some of his colleagues, the women working with him. They were all the time, you know, trying to have, you know, some relations with him. One of them was, you know, interested to marry him. Okay, and he came and he told her, you know, I have some whom they are working with, you know, the story. Actually, she told me, Mona, I was in a very difficult situation. I don't know what to do because at that time I have 2 kids and I was interested to keep my life with him, but I started to become jealous and I was tired with all these, you know, problems regarding the women with him in the work. But she told me, you know, Mona, And actually I know her very closely. I knew her very closely. She told me, but you know, Muna, it is Allah, the most important priority in my life. In my life, I was living my marriage as an act of worship. I was the most merciful wife to my husband. I tolerated all, you know, the talks which he was mentioning to me about, you know, how the colleagues in the work are interested in him. You know, yes. And she told me sometimes we'll have, you know, an invitation at home and those women will come, you know, to our house, then they will treat him, you know, in a way which I don't like, you know, but still I was merciful to him, I was very nice to him, I was supporting him, because she was the one more rich than him, I was supporting him with my money and with my love, but you know, Mona, this was not easy for me. I was always crying at night, you know, while I am sleeping, because also he was going out and he always comes home very late. And when I ask him, where you were, he will tell me I was with my, you know, friends. Allah knows whom they were his friends, but still, Mona, I was very merciful with him, you know, and I was very nice with him because I have my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most important in my life. And I was believing that so long I am living my marriage as an act of worship, Allah will reward me, Allah will take care of me. She told me, Mona, can you imagine that one day I have a phone call from one lady whom she called me and she told me that my friend's husband proposed to that lady to marry her. You know, and that lady told her, I am calling you to check about this reality. Do you think your husband is a good one to marry? You see, can you imagine? She told me, Mona, can you imagine that this happened to me? So I told her, what happened? Or what was your reaction? She told me, Mona, my reaction was very simple. I told her, my friend, I am the one whom I have the wealth. I am the one whom I own the house and the car. If you are looking for my husband to have a lot of wealth to marry him, my husband doesn't have any wealth. I am the owner of everything. If you want to marry him, go ahead and marry him under this circumstance. She told me she disappeared completely. Okay? But she told me, Mona, in spite of that event, which was repeated many times, I was very merciful to him. I was very nice to him, you know. And, you know, she told me, yes, this, she was telling me her story. She was telling me that story when she was 80 years old, you know, 80.
Oh, really?
Yes, you see, she told me, Mona, I lived in this, you know, hardship more than 25 years. You can't imagine. But I was merciful, I was kind, I was the best mother, I was the best wife to him, and Allah rewarded me that my kids, they grow up and they married and they have a good life. I was successful as a mother, and now I am 8 years old. My husband is 47 years old. My husband is taking care of me 100%, because you know she has also osteoarthritis and she was not able to move normally. She told me, you can't imagine, Mona, after the age of 70, her husband's name was Muhammad. She told me, Muhammad became a totally different human being. He became very merciful. He became very kind. He was with me all the time. He was the one cooking. He was the one taking care of the house. He was the one taking care of me. I am enjoying with him the best days of my life. This is the reward of Allah, Mona, because I was patient. I was accepting, you know, my decree regarding my husband. And I was merciful, you know, to my husband. And I lived my marriage as an act of worship. And in reality, I visited that friend, you know, while she was 80 years old, and I knew her husband from before, you know, and actually he was like an angel. Telling me, Mona, he was joking with me, they consider me their daughter, telling me, Mona, you know, she is the most beautiful woman in life, while she is 80 years old. You see, I love her a lot. She is all my world. I am taking care of her. You know, Mona, I praying for you to have this successful marriage as me, and Bisa is having this successful marriage.
And in reality, he was treating her the best treatment with the full sincerity. Okay? And I believe this story because I lived this story with, you know, her name. I called her Mama Nafisa, you know. And, you know, sister, this is the reality of life. Live your marriage as an act of worship. Have Allah in your life. Live your life, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you will prove your reality to him, Allah will make the change in your life and your husband, inshallah, will, you know, change to a very good human being. But this is the test of the worldly life. Life is a test. So this is one of the, you know, great tasks in life is that the husband is not merciful. So I hope that everyone will learn from this story, inshallah. Regarding the stories of mercy between the spouses, inshallah, we will have 2 to 3 or more classes because this is a very important topic which we need to know its reality and we need to know its depths so that, inshallah, we can save our marriage and have it as a successful marriage. And let us make the dua. الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على الدعاء آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the heart, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the grave, from the torment of the hell, and from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Inshallah.